Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then the crowd said to him, "What must we do to perform the work of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give to us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always wonderful to worship here at St. John's. Rita is at a Bible study at Ocean Isle, so she couldn't be with us today. But she said to greet everyone on her behalf. Rita and I and our children, Joseph and Sarah, appreciated so much the ministry that you provided in which we were able to share for those 30 years that we lived here in Salisbury. So thank you so very, very much. Pastor Rhodes, thank you for the invitation and Mark to be a part of this worship service today. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. May we pray. Good and gracious God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all the blessings you give to us. We thank you for your Son, the Christ, for the gift of faith. We thank you for St. John's Church and for her long ministry, a history that encompasses 270 plus years. And we ask you, O Lord, on this consecration Sunday at St. John's Church, that you might speak, we might hear, we might respond according to your will. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. It's consecration Sunday at St. John's. St. John's is one of the most dynamic congregations, not just in North Carolina, but across the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We can be proud that we're a part of that family, of this family of faith. I'd like to talk to you about St. John's Church and how we together and how we individually today and as family units respond to God's call, how we all are a participant in the journey of faith, and how we are all children of God. And I think on Consecration Sunday, it's good for us to think about who we are and whose we are. Little Benny grew up in a very, very small town in rural Tennessee some years ago. When he was 3 years old, he realized he didn't know his dad. In fact, he'd never seen his dad. His mother had never married, and he always wondered who was his father. When he went to school, first, second grade, people would sometimes ask him in this small town, "Who is your daddy?" He just didn't know. And that always was a real source of frustration and even pain for Benny. When he was 15, 16 years old, he still had that dilemma, not knowing his father, feeling kind of abandoned by his dad, who he didn't know. A new pastor came to town, and he peeped in the back door one Sunday, and he liked what he heard, so he'd go back every Sunday just to hear this person preach. Never met the pastor. He'd always go late, leave early, didn't want to meet anyone. One day, as he was going out of church, he kind of got caught in a crowd of people visiting, and he felt a hand on his shoulder. He looked around, and it was the pastor. And the pastor said to Benny, "I've seen you in church, but I never met you. Who's your father?" And before he could say a word, the pastor said, "Wait a minute. I know your father. I see the family resemblance. You're a child of God. Go out there and claim your inheritance. Well, years later, when Ben Hooper, became the governor of Tennessee, he talked about how that Sunday, when the pastor touched him on the shoulder, he would say the hand of God touched him on the shoulder and said to him, "You're a child of God," how that transformed his life. He said, "I never saw my life the same again. I realized God was ultimately my father and had given me all that I had." And it actually is what encouraged him to move forward in his life. You're a child of God. And as I look out in the congregation this morning, I see the family resemblance. You're all children of God. And we celebrate today how we have that family resemblance. It's in our DNA. God has claimed us. Now, here at St. John's, we've been at this for 270 plus years. That's hard to imagine. If you're in Israel, it's not so far back. But here, 270 years is a long, long time. Can you imagine? Some folks came down from Pennsylvania, the old wagon road. They were here, Lutheran. And they said, "We need a church." So they put together a few people that were Lutheran, most likely. That was the case. And they said, "We need to have a worship service. We need to have a place where we can pray. We need to tell the story of Jesus and how he's been a part of our life. How we're children of God." And then they gave the things that they had to make sure that that story of Jesus could be told from that generation to the next, to the next, to the next. We have been blessed by those people. We don't even know their names. But they told the story. They began this beautiful place where we now are part of that same family of God. Think for a moment about a person who told you about Jesus, maybe for the first time. A person that was important in your journey of faith. And just silently thank God for that person. That's how you were told the story. Now think of a person that you hope you can or have already told the story to. That's how this story of Jesus works. We tell it from one to another to another. We tell how Jesus has shaped our lives. We invite people to worship, be a part of the family of faith. The person that came to my mind was my mother. I remember when I was 4 or 5 years old, we would look out the window in our home and we could see St. Mark's Lutheran Church just across the way. This is near Blowing Rock. And she would, she would hold a book in her hands with dogs in it, different kinds of dogs, and I was trying to learn the different kinds of the dogs. The Cocker Spaniel was the one that talked the most. But the Cocker Spaniel would tell me about the cross on the top of the church. Mother was really doing the talking. You probably already knew that. The dog would tell me about Jesus, and how Jesus died on the cross, and how that cross was empty on the top of the church because Christ rose from the dead. That's one of my first remembrances of someone telling me about Jesus. Then that church I was looking at, that's where I was baptized some years later. I wasn't baptized until I was 13. That's not the norm in our Lutheran church, as you perhaps know, but my dad had grown up in a Baptist tradition, and he thought, "You got to know what you're doing." Now, that wasn't where Mother was, but that's where Dad was. But anyway, it was in that church where I was baptized on August the 9th. So you might think for a moment, where were you baptized? Just think about that place and the date that you were baptized. Maybe even celebrate that date each year. It's worthy of celebration, but that's when you were sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. That's when you were reborn. That's when you became a child of God. That's when you were invited to let your light shine. That's when you were invited to be a part of the mission of the church. That's why on Consecration Sunday, it's good to remember that you've been baptized and that you're a child of God. Consecration is a word we don't use a whole lot, but we use it, I guess, for the most part in the church. We consecrate elements, the bread and the wine. We take bread and wine. Pastor Rhodes consecrates it, prays over it, and then we believe in a mysterious way that Christ is truly present in the bread and in the wine. It's been consecrated. We consecrate people so that they might do special kinds of work. Baptism is really more than consecration, but it's a way of consecration where we are claimed by God and invited to go into all the world and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Scripture is clear. We're consecrated. We're invited to, in some way, respond. Now, here's what is kind of tricky for Lutherans. We believe that we're set free by God's grace. We don't have to do anything to earn God's love. Now, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's really, isn't that cool? My daughter would say, that's really cool. But since we don't have to do anything to earn God's love, what are we going to do in response to God's love? Not because we have to, but because we want to. It's a whole different matter. In fact, it seems to me that's more binding than if we thought we had to do something. That means we can give with joy and celebration. So a consecration Sunday is not a problem for us. It's a time of great celebration because we get to, in some way, say, thank you, Lord, I want to share some of the things that you've given to me out of celebration and thanksgiving. How can God use us? The Old Testament lesson today is just a marvelous story of how God was with God's people. The story of the Exodus is a long, beautiful, magnificent story of how God delivered God's people out of slavery. Today we're kind of at the end of the story. The children of Israel have already been set free. They're now free from the Pharaoh. They're not slaves in Egypt anymore, but they are not happy people. They don't know it. They're on a 40-year journey. They think maybe a short time. 40 years they have to go, but they're now 6 weeks out. And they're having all kinds of problems. They're complaining. They're saying, Moses, we're so tired of this. We had food to eat and water to drink back in Egypt. Even though we were slaves, we were better off. Why don't we just turn around and go back? That's my words, not theirs. But they really were not happy. So God heard the people complain, and he said to Moses, tell these people that I'm going to take care of. In fact, he said, tell them I'm going to provide breakfast and I'm going to provide dinner. I'm going to give them some manna in the morning and I'm going to give them some doves in the evening. And you can find the water in the wadis around in the desert. There's plenty of water in the desert. You just have to know how to find it. So God provided the manna, but they were told, don't eat, but just what you need for that day. Don't try to gather it and store it up. If you do, worms will get it and it won't be any good. Some of the people thought they needed to store things up. They couldn't trust God to provide for the next day. Well, that's the story of how God provided manna for the people for 40 years in the wilderness. I would say that we've all been in the wilderness from time to time. We have been, we are now, or it's kind of in the future. I mean, the wilderness is a part of the journey of faith. We all have the highs and the lows, the wilderness experience. But we can look at the Old Testament and see how God took care of God's people. Now, in the New Testament lesson, the 6th chapter of John, Jesus refers back to that same story. The people are asking God how they can in some way do God's work. And God tells them they can believe, or Jesus tells them, they can believe that he's the Son of God. And they say, well, explain that to us. How do we know that God will be with us? How can we have a sign? Could you give us a sign? Something so we'll know that God really takes care of God's people. And Jesus said, well, remember your ancestors when they were out of Egypt and God said he would provide manna? Well, he did that. And then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. One of the things that's so beautiful about the book of John, I think, is the I am passages where Jesus describes who he is. One of them is in today's text, I am the bread of life. It's just so helpful to me personally to hear Jesus say who he is, describe what he is about through common words. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the gate to eternal life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. That is Jesus telling us who he is. It's also a reminder that we are God's children. Through the years, as a pastor, I was often asked, how can I be closer to God? How can I know that I'm a child of God? How can I be comfortable as a child of God? Sometimes I have doubts. How can I work on my relationship with God? That's good to ask, I think, on Consecration Sunday. Well, I can tell you some ways I think work very well. They're all scriptural. First of all, I think we should be people of prayer. I would invite you to set aside 15 minutes each day to be in conversation with God. It's talking to God. It's listening to God. It's being with God. A model that I oftentimes use is I confess, I praise, I thank, I pray for others, and then I pray for myself. Just a little model that I found helpful. You could be in prayer for God about people in the congregation, people in the community that you know that need God's help. We have a prayer list. We'll probably pray for people later in the worship service. You can do that at home. You see, being in a relationship with God means you can be with God other places other than just the church. It's not just a Sunday experience. You can be in worship. Worship is the most important thing we do. Gathering with God's people, being strengthened. It's always inspirational to me to see people worship. I was brought to tears this morning in the worship services as people came forward and brought their pledges. It was a moving experience. Just to see people I knew in many cases, some people I'd never seen before, especially in the second service, but they were there offering to God what they thought that God would have them contribute to give. It was an act of faith. And you could tell the way they were walking and the expressions on their faces, they were doing this with joy and celebration. It wasn't a burden. It was a time that they were actually being able to say, thank you, God. This is a joy to be a part of this ministry. We can look at Scripture. That's a place where God has promised to greet us in the Word. It tells us that we are children of God. It talks about the death and resurrection of Jesus and how through that death and resurrection we're set free. Not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done in Christ. That is a wonderful gift that we can learn about in Scripture. And then Scripture is very clear that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So if you want your heart to be somewhere, then you can put your treasure there, and Scripture says your heart will follow. And I think that's true. So we contribute to our treasure, and then our heart's right behind. It's our commitment to God. A little boy and his dad, after church, stopped by McDonald's, and the little boy said, I'd like some fries and a Coke. So his dad bought him some fries and a Coke, threw in some ketchup, and the boy sat there talking about the church service, and having some French fries. And his dad reached over and had a French fry. And the little boy screamed at him, "What are you doing? Those are my French fries. Leave them alone. Get your own." The little boy had somehow forgotten that those French fries came from his dad in the first place. He just thought they were his. Now, it's easy to think that all the French fries we have somehow are our own. They're really not. All that we have ultimately belongs to God. We've been entrusted for a period of time to use what's been given to us. There's a season in which we take care of certain things. There was a season when I was Bishop of the North Carolina Synod. That was my time to do certain kinds of work. That season is behind me in that job, that call. The season for you to in some way be a part of this ministry is really today. How will you respond to God's call to this exciting ministry? I read recently about John David Rockefeller, an amazing person. He was the son of a snake oil salesman. And by the time John Rockefeller was 23 years old, he was a millionaire. An amazing story. He put together Standard Oil, had all kinds of monopolies, was considered by many people to be very ruthless. When he was 54, he was a billionaire. First billionaire. But he was also told he had a very unique and rare disease. He probably would live no longer than a year, and all the hair on his body fell off. People said that saw him said he looked like a mummy, and he always looked miserable. And he would say, and did say, that every night when he would go to bed, he would be so afraid he was going to lose everything he had. $1 billion. Well, at 53, he decided if he was only going to live a year, he would change the way he lived. He became a philanthropist. He created the Rockefeller Foundation, and the foundation with millions and millions of dollars. And even now today, it has created all kinds of new medications, many, many things that have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. The good that he's done through the foundation and other gifts is amazing. He changed his life. He lived to be 98. And he would say that it changed his life when he decided to not think about what he might lose or what might he might gain, but rather what he could give away. It literally changed the way he lived. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And I can tell you, when you give things away, it changes the way you view the world. It creates joy and thankfulness. I think the reason people actually give, or the best reasons that why people give, is because we are truly thankful. We want to grow spiritually. We think it's an honor to in some way be a part of something that's bigger than we are. And I think when we can grow in our giving, it creates a sense of joy and appreciation. Because it changes our lives. The church to which we give changes the lives of many. I hesitated because I was wondering about telling this story about a conversation I had earlier today. I'm not going to tell you the story because I think that would be breaking confidence. But I will tell you, a young person from the second service told me how that worship service today had literally changed his life. I don't want to tell you any more, but even today I had an example of how a life was transformed through that worship service. Now, that's kind of amazing. That's just an example of how St. John's and this ministry changes lives. Now, that's just the one I know about. I'm guessing there are more than that. But in Scripture, giving is mentioned over 2,100 times. It's just a huge part of what Scripture is. As I said, we don't have to give to earn God's love, but I actually think God expects us to in some way show our love. When I love people, I expect them and do things for them. I expect something. They don't have to necessarily do things, but it's appreciated. So I think God appreciates our response to God's love. The choir is going to sing a beautiful anthem here in just a moment. When is that anthem coming up, Rob? Right now? Or?
It's after we sing the hymn.
Okay, we're going to sing a hymn and then the anthem. Yeah, I want you to pay special attention to the anthem. It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. You perhaps have heard it. Take My Life and Let It Be. It was written by Frances Ridley Havergal. And she only lived to be 42 years old. She wrote 71 hymns. Her goal in life was to help people in their journey of faith and to help people understand that they are children of God. And she was always sickly throughout her entire life, a very devout Christian. She went on a 5-day vacation, and she was staying in a home where 10 other people were staying. While she was there on the first day, she realized that there were no Christians among these 10 people. So she prayed the first night there that she would somehow have the courage to tell her story of faith, to tell them how Jesus had changed her life. Even though her health wasn't the best, she felt that God had always been with her. He'd kind of provided the manna. She knew she was a child of God. On the last night there, all these people had converted to Christian faith. They understood, they believed that Jesus was Lord. That's what was referred to in John 6 when people were saying, how can I do the work of the Christian faith? So that night, realizing these 10 people are now Christian, she went back to her room and she penned this beautiful hymn that the choir is going to sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. Listen to these words. She's asking that God take her life. And here's how she describes it. Take my time and my hands and my feet and my voice and my lips and my silver and my gold and my intellect, my will, my heart, my love. Take myself. Take my all. And I think that's what we're invited to do today in our response to this wonderful ministry at St. John's, is some way have conversation with God and decide how we can be a part of this amazing ministry. But the bottom line here today is, you're a child of God. And I see the family resemblance. God bless you.